All right, here we go. Welcome to Highway Diaries. I'm your host, Eric Hollerbach. With me for the second time, the director of the greatest 9/11 movie ever made, Hypothesis. It's my pleasure to welcome Brett Smith. How you doing, buddy?
Thanks, Eric. You're too kind. I'm doing great.
Well, we first met maybe 3 or 4 years ago. You know, I drove from Los Angeles. You drove from Utah. We met in the middle. We had a talk. You know, episode 52, I think it is, of Highway Diary, if I'm not mistaken.
Wow.
And this is going to be 189. So, 100-something episodes.
Come a long way.
I know. You actually, you first met my sister in San Francisco. You were part of the 9/11 film festival.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Yeah, she was working for architects and engineers, right?
Yeah, she was an architect and engineer, like a webmaster at that time.
Nice.
Have you ever spoken to Richard Gage?
Maybe a couple times, but not extensively. I always wanted to meet him in person.
So, for those who don't know, who is Richard Gage?
Richard Gage founded the Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth, and they gathered a bunch of signatures to start a new 9/11 investigation, particularly the fall of the skyscrapers.
Yeah.
And anyway, so yeah, the film I made kind of related to their work, and so we kind of collaborated a bit with the film festival and other things.
It was just so amazing when you were making the film Hypothesis, when you started to get into Dr. Stephen Jones' research, the timing allowed you to film his dismissal.
Yeah, that was quite interesting, getting all that drama.
Yeah, so what happened there? Do you remember, like, what the first thing that was said of, like, you know, because he did this speech where he's like, look, BYU's not trying to shut me down. I'm just doing my research. They're telling me to write papers, to keep pushing. And he did all that stuff, and then he got fired because he's saying that the government started 9/11 on purpose. And BYU just is too much of a pussy to stand behind him when he's saying some hardcore shit with some real implications. He's rocking the boat.
Yeah, it was interesting. There's so many different dynamics to it as well. I don't even know if I know the full story, even after kind of looking into it. So yeah, you could see what their official statement is too, and what happened, and just kind of make your own determination. But it was around the time that he got suspended that I started the film, and that's kind of what caught my attention and made me realize there's a rich story there. And I was currently taking this class and decided to pursue it, and that's when Steve agreed to do it.
I'm not going to let that phase me. I'm going to still pursue the truth.
But you know, I really enjoyed teaching here, teaching the students. Has been great. The students are actually very supportive of research, even 9/11 research. I mean, a lot of them were getting interested. That may have been part of my problem.
And I was really glad that he did.
So you took time off school. You were in undergrad for film, and you took like 5 years to make this movie. Is that right?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, it took me a while to get it done, just in between kind of working full time and taking a break from school. And essentially, I got it done. Worked it out.
Well, I'm really glad you did. It really opened my eyes. I mean, I was following Stephen Jones, and I knew all of his work because I saw his lectures from 2009. His, like, two-hour lecture. And that's what woke me up. And so I followed him very carefully, almost like a sports team. You know, like, what's going on with him? He just dropped this nuclear bomb of information on me, implicating the government and proving it with science. And then when I read he was fired, I was like, damn, you know. And then I saw your movie came out like 5 years later after his, so just like the only way to really get that story of what exactly happened to this martyr of the movement, who's the sweetest guy, Stephen Jones. You can tell by talking to him that he's very gentle, but very, very smart, you know? And he didn't mean to rock the boat. He's just like, this is what this means, you know? Have you stayed in touch with Stephen Jones? What, any updates with him after your movie came out?
Well, the last I heard, he moved to Missouri, I believe, and I think he's working on a lot of free energy, solar energy type products or, you know, research.
Yeah.
The last I heard, I think we were on the radio together at a local Utah interview.
Okay.
And, it was probably a few years ago, so I need to send him an email and see what he's up to.
Are you looking at yourself and any other more modern conspiracies? Are you looking into these QAnon leaks? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, man. I followed some of that, but remind me again what happened with that.
Yeah, so allegedly there's some kind of insider in the Trump administration that has a level Q clearance and works for the Department of Agriculture. Now, the Department of Agriculture sounds pretty benign, but if you have a level Q clearance, maybe you're realizing how the aliens harvesting the brains of cows affect beef prices. You know, like, who the fuck knows what a level Q clearance is in the Department of Agriculture? But that's the story I'm getting. And there's this weird forum where someone called QAnon, Anonymous, is saying all these, like, weird clues as to what's going on.
When does Big Pharma make money? Curing or containing cancer, AIDS, etc. Mine will be blown by chain of command.
And there's been a photograph of Trump and all of his staff from the air, like a drone photograph of him and his staff all giving the thumbs up in the shape of the letter Q. So there's all these weird, like, how is that possible? What's going on? Well, maybe he's behind these leaks, these cosigns. And he, you know, the QAnon is basically saying that of the implications resulting from the WikiLeaks. So the WikiLeaks come out and, you know, it's like, are these an invasion of privacy? Should we not have got Hillary's emails? But when we read them all and they describe clear crimes, what are we going to do about it? And it seems like Q is hinting that we're finally going to do something about this. And we're going to use the data. And, you know, there's hints that the perpetrators at high levels are going to Gitmo. And instead of interrogating fake terrorists of 9/11 at the Gitmo facility, we're going to be torturing the Podestas and the Clintons and getting more information and just locking all those fucks up. So that's what my understanding of the Q situation. Now, what do you think? Is Trump a good person behind the scenes, or is he, you know what I mean? What's the current state of America?
Holy cow. I'm totally unaware of this Q thing. It sounds very Star Trek. I love it.
It is very Star Trek.
Yeah. no, that's amazing. And I've always thought that, we really do need those emails to be disclosed on both sides during an election. I think this last one kind of taught us that.
At 9:23, you will cease to exist. Truth to power. How's the bunker these days?
Yeah, as far as the Trump administration, it's hard to tell when he puts a lot of Goldman Sachs and some of the remaining swamp people still in office.
No, he's draining the swamp. Haven't you heard he's draining the swamp?
It doesn't look drained to me, but interesting, all these kinds of, like, corporations that are kind of the revolving door of the government seem to just be wheeling back in, you know?
Or, yeah, Monsanto, the Monsanto CEO. He's like, you know, putting Roundup, which is a very toxic pesticide, into genetically modified and cloned vegetables with part spider blood DNA. And then he's like, you know, let me just take over this whole agriculture thing. I think I got this. I'm not an evil wizard. It's I'm trying to be hopeful because also QAnon is hinting at a financial reset, a debt jubilee, and also saying that, what was the other thing? Looking into a lot of doctors who have been murdered in the last 5 years. You know, Stephen Jones was a doctor of chemistry who tried to say 9/11 was an inside job. There's a lot of doctors that say cancer's already been cured. There's a lot of doctors that offer, like, weird medical treatments, like Rife machines and all this stuff. They're getting offed.
Basically, there's a panic in D.C. Leverage depleted. The POTUS is freed. Extreme chatter going on. So what that's all talking about is the tides have shifted for the president.
Or just people saying, hey, eat fruits and vegetables. You know, like a lot of doctors are being killed in the last 5 years, and some of the QAnon leaks were about that.
Wow, that's so interesting.
And like Seth Rich. Everyone knows that Hillary Clinton killed Seth Rich. Okay, we gave her the Democratic nomination. Okay, now can we lock her up? I mean, the amount of people that the Clintons have murdered is fucking staggering.
Yeah, you've got to think that there's something going on for sure. It just seems really shady.
Yeah. I don't know, Brett. I'm trying to, I'm also, like, trying to sell this script around Hollywood about Dulce. Have you ever heard about the Dulce conspiracy?
I think you told me a little bit about it.
Where there's
another weird experiment type thing going on?
Yeah, like the island of Dr. Moreau, where all these different hybrid human monkey, human bat, frog babies are being genetically modified in an underground base in Dulce, New Mexico, you know?
That's interesting.
How far does the rabbit hole go for you, Brett? Like, what's the weirdest things that you've looked at after making a 9/11 documentary? Surely you've been absorbing other people's weird material.
I've heard a lot of different ones. I'm trying to think of a good one. Well, I had a friend who talked about actors being cloned as well. I thought that was an interesting theory.
Like what?
like a lot of the movies and stuff put out are more, you know, the idea being that the movies control the collective conscious of, you know, of people, you know, because so it's like a mass media thing. And so, like, there's a theory out there that a lot of the actors are clones and have been, like, kept in cryo and woken up, you know, during certain points of history, you know, like maybe Justin Timberlake lived, like, thousands of years ago and he was some kind of pawn back then. I don't know. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, I think that I've seen a conspiracy like that. There's some guy who looks like Jay-Z from the 1850s. There's a guy who looks like Nicolas Cage who was around in the, you know, 1500s or whatever. You go back in history, but
I'd love to see that.
You know, people have similar genetics. Like, a lot of German people look kind of similar. There's certain facial features that are similar and I don't know. I wonder if they just found a picture of a guy who looks like Jay-Z back in the day. I don't know.
That would be interesting. I'd love to see Nicolas Cage do Shakespeare. That'd be nice.
There are two guys that really make me wonder. And one is Tom Cruise. And the other is Keanu Reeves. They both haven't aged in a span of like 20 years. You know? What's going on with Tom Cruise's face?
Yeah, he must get, like, facials every day or something.
I don't know. Like, does he get that good Scientology? That extra stuff? Is he drinking baby's blood? Or is he a clone in cryo? You know?
Yeah, I mean, so many different things to look into.
So,
you can never tell with those Scientologists.
I know. It's so weird. Like, if... what would happen if Hypothesis played in primetime on Fox television for, like, 6 months? Like, you had a good 6 month strand where that documentary was out there programming the populace, just like, you know, the Transformer movie, which only makes people a little bit dumber, you know? What if Brett Smith's material was out there? What would happen?
I would like to think people would think critically, even if they don't agree with the conclusions of the movie. Like, maybe we'd be less paranoid of you know, immigrants and stuff like that.
Yeah, we would focus.
That'd be nice.
It wouldn't. We wouldn't be divided to be conquered anymore. We'd be united against, like, the real threat.
Exactly.
I
don't feel like, I don't know, like Muslims are legislating away my rights.
The goal tonight I have in mind is to preserve constitutional law in the United States. Now, I love America, and I love the Constitution. I maintain that we are engaged in a struggle for liberty and truth right now. Someone, my exemplar actually said, the truth shall make you
free. Now, you've been working on your MFA in film for a while, right?
Yeah, it's been quite a journey. I'm still trying to get it kind of finished, but I'm open to other things. You know, I had an opportunity to do a pretty interesting documentary, and I may follow up on that. It was about a girl who was being an MMA fighter here in Utah. It was pretty interesting, but so far it's kind of landed in my lap, similar to how everything lined up for Hypothesis, which was just kind of a nice meeting.
Yeah. It's so crazy how you were just in the right place at the right time. And you would think that after, you know, you exposed BYU for being kind of hypocrites in that whole situation.
Dr. Stephen Jones is on paid administrative leave for what BYU officials call increasingly inflammatory accusations.
There wasn't much said to me.
Brian, why is BYU taking action against his statements?
For a couple of reasons, Mark. First, what Jones has said, and second, what the university suspects he has not done with his research.
We are concerned about the increasing number of accusatory and speculative comments being made by Dr. Jones regarding the collapse of the World Trade Center. And the second involves a concern that Dr. Jones' work on this topic has not been published in an appropriate scientific venue.
Now you're working for them in some capacity. I don't want to get you in trouble or fired, but what's going on?
Oh, yeah. So recently I kind of got a gig working on some multi-language courses for BYU, so... I'm doing a little bit of my media work for them as, like, an independent contractor.
Mm-hmm. You're right, yeah, in the belly of the beast. They silence one of my heroes.
That's right. Yeah. So, yeah, we'll see what happens. Hopefully I make it.
How do you, I think they respect you. I think they saw your film work of Hypothesis, and you make a good case, and you really made them think about things. And so, I'm trying to figure something out. I got my MFA in screenwriting. I'm trying to figure out, how do you turn an MFA into, like, working in show business and getting paid for it? Is there a show business left anymore? Does everybody have to just do their own thing on the internet? What's your sense?
Oh, yeah. That's kind of what I've been learning. It seems like the industry is afraid of streaming right now, because people can just sit at home and absorb a whole series, and less people are going out to the theater.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, if they bet, you know, if they make a $200 billion movie, betting that it's going to make a return, and they get, you know, Jack Sparrow to do a different type incarnation of that, because that worked before, right? You know, and then the Lone Ranger is made, and then it tanks. It only takes a couple of those to tank a studio, so it seems like in Hollywood, the creative minds that should be in control of things are not, and more of like the data people, you know, the people that want to write a formula for success are kind of missing the mark. And so, yeah, it could be, I'm wondering if streaming might be the way of the future, and that independent, you know, media creation will be more democratized, so to speak, because the tools are becoming more and more available. I don't know. What do you think?
That's interesting. You're saying that, like, the Wall Street guys who are like, look, we have Johnny Depp. He made $1.6 billion in his last picture, so he has a built-in audience. Now, I'm saying if we make a movie for $50 million, we pay him this, It's like you're doing, you know, you're playing math with art. You know, it's not like that. It's instead of just making like a hedge fund deal, like a dum-dum, maybe like, you know, something about stories, you know, something about, you're like passionate about the work because it's going to be so strong with this actor. And, you know, it's not just like a deal that's made way before the script happens. Cause I've been working on some screenplays for 2.5-3 years. I'm actually, after this, I'm going to send out some, I revised an outline. I'm going to send that out to some agents that already have read my work. But I'm just going to kind of follow up, and I'm trying to sneak my way into show business. But, I mean, to make a hedge fund deal and then just be like, oh, this guy, he's in the Writers Guild of America. He last made this and this. Those movies may have taken him 1.5 years each, and you're going to give him, you know, $5 million, just throw money at a writer and say, make something faster, you know?
Right.
How about you just ask him what he's got? What's the thing in the back of, I don't know. But I hear what
you're
saying.
Right.
Yeah, there seems to be problems with show business, right?
Exactly. And you almost think, instead of spending $200 million, you know, on one movie, why not divide that and give $5 million to several filmmakers like us.
Right.
You know, at least one of them might turn out, you know, good.
Yeah.
And then we would kind of see something new in the theaters instead of kind of the same old regurgitation.
No. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to give $100 million to Bryan Singer, who's fucked multiple underage boys in a hot tub. Hush, hush about that. But listen, we're going to give him $500 million...
What made you come forward now? Maybe we'll start with that.
Sure.
I turned it in when I was a kid. My mom turned it in to the authorities. We were living here in Los Angeles. Turned it in, and what happened was basically it fell on deaf ears. I mean, we didn't get anywhere. And then I basically buried it in me as deep as I possibly could. I developed a problem with drinking, and to numb that pain for years. And then about 2 years ago, I decided to completely stop the drinking. And 11 months ago, I walked into my first trauma therapy. I've been undergoing trauma therapy for the last, I think, 11 months. I grew up in the Midwest. I grew up in Nebraska, had the aspirations of becoming an actor. Then was advised to move to Los Angeles.
That's what's been going on.
Yeah, that whole ring of, yeah, who knows what's going on with that, by the way. You know, like all that, you know, human trafficking or whatever. Who knows?
I really wonder, you know, in ancient Babylon, the pharaohs, they realized that there's too many slaves. There's too many, you know, big, powerful, pyramid-building slaves they had. And if the slaves really wanted to, if they all just whispered to each other and said, hey, I think we could kick that pharaoh's ass, you know, instead of building him a pyramid for our whole lives, so what they came up with the pharaohs and his council people came up with was a system of mind control. And you had to have, you know, give them a place to live, food, basic things and plenty of bread and circus. And as long as that you gave the pharaohs or the slave people a little bit of circus, a little entertainment every now and then, nobody really raised anything. So Bryan Singer, being a Freemason and a multiple-time gay rapist of underage boys, he's in that system, right? That's, they would do shit like pedophilia to keep everybody on the program, you know? And so him being a high-level person of a circus, you know, producer, they just said, look, you're part of the keeping the sheep asleep department. We need you. So we're going to give you a lot of money, and we don't care what you do. I think that's what happened.
Yeah, I could totally see that.
How is Woody Allen still have a career? You know, these weirdos.
Yeah, that's bizarre. Like, yeah, just kind of open secrets that no one cares about.
And
they turn an eye or something.
I know, and ever since, he's such a shit. You know, ever since he married the girl, the girl who was his adopted daughter, he's married her and hung on to that his whole, for the last 30 years, you know. Now she's kind of, now she's like in her 40s, but he was taking nudie pictures of her when she was like 12, 13, you know, having bath time. Oh, and he's just so,
I have no idea about that.
Oh, you didn't know that?
No.
He was married, you know who Mia Farrow is, like he was married to her.
Yeah.
And Mia Farrow adopted this girl, and he started taking nudie pictures of her. But then, when she was 18, they got married, you know? So, that's a deal with Woody Allen.
That's even further than I thought. That's crazy.
Then, him and Louis C.K. just teamed up to make a movie together about banging underage girls.
China wants to come and live with me for the rest of her senior year.
Of course she wants to come live with you. You have a giant apartment, and you have the Hamptons and the plane.
None of that is my fault. You divorced me while I was a loser, so you lost.
Can we get the check?
Are you having a good time?
Hey, Teddy, is it okay if I stay here for a few more days?
Let me think about it, and then we'll talk later, okay?
I love you.
I love you, too. Have you thought at all about what you're going to do with your life?
I don't know, Daddy.
We'll talk about it, okay?
Okay, I love you.
I love you.
A girl that age is getting into trouble, and if she loves her daddy, that means you're doing nothing.
Is that your girlfriend?
Oh, God. No, that's my daughter, China.
Oh, wow. She's gorgeous.
And it got pulled from the movies. It was like, I Love You, Daddy, or something like that was the name of the movie. And it got pulled last minute. They didn't, it was supposed to air at Cannes and it got shut down or something like this. Or it was supposed to have a wide release. It got shut down. So there does seem to be some kind of movement to stop this. And I know Bryan Singer recently, his last movie he was going to direct, he got fired from before he started shooting. So I think he's on the outs now too. So I wonder if there is change going on.
It seems like it. Yeah, definitely. You know, I have a kind of a funny story to tell you.
Yeah.
That you might be interested in.
Go for it.
Along those lines. Back in about, I want to say 2012, I actually met, I bumped into Harvey Weinstein.
Yeah?
And I had a copy of Hypothesis, and I just like, I was like, hey, I know you love documentaries, like, check this out. And I just like handed it to him. And then he's like, he looked at it for a minute, and then he was like, Sundance? And I said, oh, yeah, I submitted it to Sundance. And he's like, oh, I don't accept unsolicited material. Send it to the office. And I was like, okay, well, I'll see you later.
Did you send it to his office?
No, I ended up not doing that. I just, now with recent revelations, I just wonder if I was, like, the wrong gender. But I don't know.
That's how show business works. I don't know, man. I've been bumming it. I've been bumming it. My living situation in Los Angeles, I moved back here after getting my master in screenwriting from the University of New Orleans. Now I live in Los Angeles, and it's like, if Harvey Weinstein wanted me to do sexual things with him, I'd really have to think about it, because I'm trying to figure out how to get into show business, and if there was a straightforward offer on the table, I'd really have to consider it.
Wow. Yeah, it's that whole casting couch, isn't it?
You know, sometimes you gotta get in. How else am I gonna get a TV series? You know?
Yeah, you gotta weigh your options. I mean, sometimes, yeah.
You know, if the president, I walk into the office as the president of Netflix. He has one of those Matt Lauer buttons that locks the door behind me under his desk. You know, I walk in there and he's like, "All right, listen, we're gonna give you a special. We're gonna give you a TV series called Dulce, 3 seasons, 10 episodes each. We'll see you after that. We'll give you 2 stand-up specials." And he just starts taking his pants off. I just be like, "Yes, sir." I don't know. I'm a straight man, but it's just...
Like, Nancy, clear my day.
Yeah. Clear my schedule. This guy's a real go-getter.
And then the lights go down. You're like, oh, no. Well, take one for the team, I guess.
Yeah. Look, you know, it's survival of the fittest.
I wonder, you know, like, do artists really need to suffer for their work? You know, is that true art, I guess?
I'm just trying to figure out how to get in show business. And if somebody directly told me how, I think I would do it. You know what I'm saying?
We'll find a way. I think if we put our heads together, so to speak.
Wait a minute.
We'll figure it out.
What are you asking, yeah. Brett Smith? This took a turn.
Brain.
Speaking of gay stuff, I've been hanging out with James Robert Wright. He's like one of my best friends out here in Los Angeles. And we went to the Conscious Life Expo together. And it's so weird how things are commercializing. Now, if you don't know, the Conscious Life Expo is a place where people like David Wilcox speak. You know, a lot of Project Camelot whistleblowers speak there. You know, people who were in Jack Parsons' laboratory for their whole career, JPL, and they saw aliens and then they talk, like they all do lectures. But outside is a trade show, and they're trying to get you to join occult schools. They're trying to get you to, I don't know, there's a lot of stuff going on. They're trying to get you to pay for a psychic or pay for Oregon water. Oregon water is some weird water that's supposed to repel bad juju. But everything is like $300, you know. Different crystals that you can buy and put on your body to heal different bullshit ailments and stuff. And I just remember my old girlfriend, she used to go to Topanga Days when she was growing up. And that's like you pay $1 to get in. And then it's a music festival, and they have cheap food, and y'all hang out and be hippies and stuff, you know? Well, she invited me one time to go to Topanga Days, and then I realized that it was like a $30 cover. Like, all the food was like $15. Like, bottles of water were $4. And instead of being about, you know, the Conscious Life Expo, instead of, like, exposing the Illuminati and being hippies, they charge you at the door, like, whatever price to get into it. And then you could go to lectures, but then you can also go to floors where everybody's banging you out for more cash, you know? So, the same thing with Topanga Days. It's like, it's weird, like, capitalism is such a motherfucker that everybody who sets up a booth, you know, they're paying for booth space as a vendor. And then they want to make their booth space back and then make a profit selling all their shit. So everyone's like this hedge fund trying to gouge each other with their woo-woo spells. So instead of being like a place, I don't know, man. I was, it seemed like a trade show, you know?
That's disappointing, man. I would feel like I would lose my positive vibes if I, you know.
I know.
It kind of shattered the, you know.
And then one guy, I was just outside hanging out, and one guy was like, "Oh, what's going on with you?" And I was like, "What do you mean?" He's like, "I'm a psychic. Let's sit down." So I sit down with this guy, and he gives me a psychic reading, but he kept touching my leg. It was very, it was a little uncomfortable. I felt like... It's just full of weirdos, that place, you know?
Oh, man. That's like that's training before you talk to the film exec, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. Everywhere is the same. Even at the Conscious Life Expo, there's a casting couch if you want a free psychic reading.
And then you get your what do they call it? The water with, like, the crystals.
Oh,
you know, they put the label on the outside or whatever. I don't know.
The Oregon water.
Yeah. That sounds about...
So there's this gemstone called Oregon, and if you put it in water, it becomes Oregon water, like a tea bag. And then if you pour that around your house, the zombies won't come.
Nice.
So...
I was looking for a deterrent.
yeah, it's weird. James Wright also, he's this weird guy where he used to be a Freemason. He was raised in the Freemasons. Let me tell you something really creepy he told me, okay? So he used to run the building in Dallas, the Freemason building, okay? And so if someone wanted to rent it for a birthday party or something, he would be like the building manager, okay? So he told me that there's only two lodges where you can earn your 33rd degree of the Scottish Rite, okay? One is Washington, D.C. So let's say you do something really creepy in Masonry and they want to reward you and give you your 33rd degree. You can only do it in Washington, D.C., and you can do it in Dallas, Texas, all right? Kind of like if you're a Scientologist and you want to reach OT level 7, you got to go to Florida. Probably for 5, 6, and 7, you have to go to Clearwater, Florida. So, anyway, he said that the night JFK was shot, LBJ, Lyndon Baines Johnson, Herbert Walker Bush, and this other guy who used to be the CIA executive, or the CIA president or whatever, they all earned their 33rd degree that night in Dallas the night JFK was killed.
Wow, that's quite a coincidence.
Isn't that fucking crazy?
I have no idea.
What kind of fraternity is so powerful that you get a merit badge when you shoot the president in the head and everyone keeps it quiet for the rest of time?
Oh, man, something that Henry Kissinger probably belongs to, for sure.
Yeah, and Zbigniew Brzezinski, or whoever that guy is.
Oh, man, we could keep going, couldn't we?
So, Project Camelot likes to say that Zbigniew Brzezinski, or whatever his name is, he used to be, like, the defense secretary under Clinton, but people say that he is part alien. Now, if you look at him, I totally agree. Look at that guy and say that it wasn't some Hitler youth who was molested by a Draco reptilian alien. And if you just imagine in your mind a lizard man having sex with a young German girl, you get Zbigniew Brzezinski. His ears are all not in the right place. And, you know... Maybe he's an alien. Where are you on aliens, Brett Smith? Are aliens running the whole show in an underground bunker?
Oh, man. At this point, I'm willing to believe anything with how the world's going, honestly.
What do you think?
Yeah, that...
What do you think about UFOs? Seriously.
UFOs. Man, I haven't seen any myself. I've been wanting to forever. And I've dated a girl who, I guess her mom worked allegedly at the, there's this crazy, facility in Utah in Tooele. And it's called Dugway. You should look it up. It's almost like the Utah Area 51. And yeah, even in local news, I've covered some very strange things that have happened. down there. So it's quite interesting to look into.
So they're doing a lot of, like, really experimental aircraft, but who knows if some of those aircraft aren't, like, reverse-engineered UFOs?
Yeah, I mean, at this point, it could be. I mean, I'm willing to believe anything. It's weird. There's a really interesting news clip where some hikers saw this beam of light that they shot up into the sky that looked very, like, you know, Sauron reminiscent from Lord of the Rings.
Right.
And then they got, like, all these weird sunburns, even though it was at night. Pretty crazy. But they're doing something weird. Who knows what's going on?
Yeah.
I had a good source tell me that, like, they had made the iPad in, like, 1985 and then just barely kind of released it onto the market. So, I don't know.
So I've been a Uber and Lyft driver for a while, and I took someone out of Tulane University who was a very high-level electrical engineer doctor, and he told me that, so he had a interesting story where he says that he made a wire that was like, you know, 1,000 times more efficient at transferring electricity than other wires or other conductors, whatever he built. And he took it around, and all the different big companies wanted to buy his patent off it, him, and said, okay, can you cut this by 20%? Or instead of making it 1,000 times more efficient, make it like 550 times more efficient, and we'll slowly ratchet up. So that they had a new product every year.
Oh, yeah. Interesting. So, it does seem like the machine of capitalism kind of keeps us behind where we should be.
Yeah, but they're too lazy about it, and they roll shit out too slow. I mean, how much longer are... I mean, gasoline is basically like fermented dinosaurs, you know? Like, at what point are we going to stop pumping, like, pterodactyl shrapnel? Like, just imagine a bunch... You know how they make olive oil? They take a bunch of olives and they put it on these... on this stone granite slab. Like, they would mill flour. And they just crush and crush and crush the olives. And they filter it down where olive oil comes out the bottom. Imagine a bunch of pterodactyls and dinosaurs. And just, like, you got a foot from a brontosaurus. You know? You got a T-Rex skull. And you just crush it under millet, under these big granite things, and at the bottom you get gasoline. Maybe I'm really stupid, but that's how I picture gasoline is made. But I mean, are you fucking... It's 2018, man.
That's so true. And imagine if that process happened in real time, if we could see it, would we, like, want that, like, disgusting product?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Or after a while, they were making it out of humans. Like, instead of funeral, you just give your granny to the gasoline mill. And they just crush her up. And just juice comes out the bottom that you put in your Subaru.
Well, we needed to fill up the compactor, so, you know.
Look, yeah, she wasn't dead anyway. And then it's like you want to go on a long trip, and granny is sick on the and you just put a pillow over her face and send her to the gasoline factory.
Oh, man, that's too bad.
Well, we wanted to go to Kansas. How else were we going to drive to Kansas?
Exactly. Exxon will pay the way.
I'm just saying, it's obsolete. You know, you're going to tell me that we can't all have electric cars with big batteries, with solar panels, and everybody in hot neighborhoods can just park their car, and when they get back in, it's charged. Like, that's just, like, on the surface of what a moron can think of. But I'm sure that there's, like, free energy magnet motors, all Tesla stuff. I think that's the big conspiracy, that it's just, like, they could just break that open, and nobody has to pay for electricity, you know?
Yeah, it makes me wonder. And ever since I started flying drones, I get really angry at power lines, and I think, why are these here? I feel like, yeah, Tesla probably was figuring it out.
So,
and we could have no power lines. That'd be nice.
Yeah. So in if someone lives in Utah and they need some aerial footage, who they go to?
Hopefully me.
All right. How do they find you, Brett Smith?
Well, I don't have a website yet, but find me on Facebook. I'll get one going. It's still kind of in the early process.
So you got drone cameras and what's going on?
Yeah, I got the unarmed drones, not the armed ones.
Yeah.
So that's nice. But just kind of experimenting, getting my license. Hopefully it'll be good. I'm liking a lot of the products with the goggles and everything. So hopefully, you know, I see drones kind of replacing a lot of the cranes and stuff that filmmakers use.
Yeah.
Right now they're still kind of noisy and that sort of thing, but it'll probably get better, I'm sure.
Yeah, I remember I worked on this show called 50 Cent, The Money and the Power. I was a production assistant, and there were two times where one time we had the contestants run across the Brooklyn Bridge, so we needed a helicopter. And then another time we needed a helicopter to film our contestants on an aerial shot from on the roof. And we were like, how much is the helicopter? And they're like, oh, it's about $10,000 a minute. And we're like, what? Like, it was so insane. But yeah, drone, you know, it's much more affordable, and you can get some really interesting shots.
True, and I wonder what Peter Jackson thinks. Like, oh crap, I should have waited maybe a little while to do Lord of the Rings.
Right.
He probably paid like millions of dollars for all those aerials.
Well, he's probably, you know, in an insider. He might have a bathtub of boys. I'm not sure, but who knows? Who knows who's paying for his budget?
Exactly. Definitely the Satanist. Sure.
That's just what bitter film people can say when they don't make it. Oh, they're all pedophiles. Those fucks. That's how they get their budget.
Exactly. And we can at least point to something, some evidence.
Yeah. I'm sure trying to sell this fucking Dulce TV show. But it's hard.
I love it.
All I'm doing is mailing agents all day. Sending them letters. More and more desperate sounding. Hey, remember me? I sent you that script. Here's an outline to go with it. You know? Do you want me to wear a tutu and come down to the office? I mean, each letter is more and more depraved. But trying to get myself into show business, Brett Smith.
You're fighting the fight, so that's good.
What does it take to get your... how do you get your drone license?
You go with the FAA and you take a test for your Part 107, and they give you a commercial flying license, and then you can, so that's what I'm working on right now, and then I'm still trying to register my business and all that, but hopefully I'll give you an update once the website's up and everything.
Cool. So you have to get like a pilot's license, like a single engine, or is there one specifically for drone operators?
Looks like there's one specifically just for drones, so I probably won't be allowed to fly a real aircraft, but I'll at least be able to feel like I have accomplished that goal.
Well, that's cool. So basically you bring your drone down to the FAA office and you fill out paperwork and you register it, and then if you have to fly certain times, you just let them know?
I'm still trying to figure that out. I think, from what I know, the drones have a limit on how high they can go and as far as the altitude. And so once you take your test, they remove that limit and you can start to fly, you know, very high and stuff like that. And then you got to buy like incidental insurance, and that's a big mess.
Yeah. Now, is it going to be, a drone is a very powerful tool. Like, are you going to be tempted to spy on your ex-girlfriends, you know, with a camera? Maybe they're on a date at Arby's and you know, one of your exes is with some new guy and they're having, like, you know, French dip sandwiches at Arby's. It's very romantic. Like, would you be tempted to, like, go in the window and just see if they're kissing?
Yeah, I think that's why I bought a thermal camera, for sure.
Oh, okay.
Just like...
Hey, maybe we should make, like, a big move. We can make, like, a Bigfoot documentary in the future. You know?
Yes. I do intend to go squatch hunting, for sure.
That'd be sweet.
Yeah. Would you be down?
Yeah, dude. Or we can go outside that Utah facility and see if, like, any, like, hybrid monkey humans are walking around.
Yes. There's also the NSA data center. That's fun to look at.
Yeah.
You know about that, right?
Well, they're just, like, recording this phone call and all information.
All of our keystrokes and everything right here in Utah.
So passive-aggressive and nosy, you know?
Yeah, I don't get it.
It's rude. And you do wonder, like, when you plug in your keyboard by USB into a laptop or into whatever, is there, like, something secret in the USB code that saves your keystrokes and the metadata that could be, like, converted into just knowing all your passwords?
That's what I wonder, because with the Edward Snowden leaks, it seemed like a lot of that software had those backdoor gateways that went in just by design from the beginning. So,
right,
it would seem that way to me.
I hear a lot of the cryptocurrencies have that, and you have to really be careful. Like, if you have $40 million in Bitcoin, and then whoever has the backdoor key can, you know, just absorb it whenever they want. It's not like you're converting U.S. tender into Bitcoins. And then they rise and fall like a stock, but if anyone wanted to plump and dump it, like, if it ever reaches, like, you know, $50,000 per, you know, so... When they originally came out, they were $12. And it's almost like a Ponzi scheme. It's like you can dump any time, but there might also be a back door where the creator can just suck all the wealth out into a private Swiss account and fly to Costa Rica.
I've wondered that, yeah. Especially because it's all encrypted now, but what happens when they can break that encryption?
Right.
I don't know.
You
got to think there's some entity out there with, like, a skyscraper full of servers that's just trying to, like, break that. I don't know.
Yeah. And we could have a skyscraper filled with hydroponic organic food that could be harvested by robots so people in New York City could have free, fresh produce, you know?
Yeah, that's a good idea. Sadly, I guess the world doesn't agree, so that's why we don't see it.
Yeah. And healthcare, I don't know. I think something's got to give sometime soon, Brett, because, you know, everyone has more student loan and fewer people have healthcare. It does seem like we're like, it's like they throw a frog in a pot of water and just slowly turn up the heat so you don't even notice. It's like on multiple, right, on multiple fronts, I just feel like the ladder that you can climb the bottom ring on keeps being pulled up by a helicopter. You know, like the ways to get to the next level are disappearing.
Yeah, it seems like that.
You know, if you want to be a brain surgeon, you have to be like, put yourself in $1.5 million worth of debt, you know?
Right, right. Join some kind of weird sex cult.
Yeah. And then are you a medical person or a weirdo trying to pay off your debt and you're willing to do creepy stuff, you know?
Right. You're just, like, personally instructed by Aleister Crowley's ghost or something?
Yeah.
I can see it.
That makes sense, right? No, I'm just saying, you know,
yep,
like, what happened to just, like, a smart person who's just, like, the best at it doesn't have to make also all these financial decisions, you know?
Exactly.
These terrible, if their college was free, you would really see, like, who the best person was coming out of school, and then they would be recruited by hospitals, and I don't know how it could work, but I just think that we should have free college and healthcare and kind of hit the reset button on all this medical credit card and student debt, you know?
Yeah, and they always say that free college can't, it's too costly, but then they never bat an eye when the Pentagon announces, you know, $500 billion for a new aircraft or whatever. So, we've got our priorities mixed up, I guess.
Yeah. Seems pretty obvious. Man.
We do, right?
Mm-hmm. It's so, and all I want to do is make material. That's why I admire Hypothesis so much. I just want to create material that exposes and entertains and fights the power. You know, like, instead of being bread and circus, you know, the power of filmmaking can be something that reprograms the collective consciousness into the right direction.
Well, thank you. I'm glad you, you know, liked my movie that much. That was kind of my goal, just to kind of not only tell a great story, but kind of open people's eyes.
The researcher raised the hypothesis of explosives set in buildings and asked why World Trade Center 7 came down in just seconds, hours after the attacks.
The reaction was generally negative locally. You know,
well, you spent 5 years on it, so it's pretty perfect, you know.
Thank you very much.
All right, Brett Smith, I'm gonna let you go. I've had you for an hour, so if you want the drone operator services, or, you know, maybe if you need a private investigator, maybe your wife starts cheating on you in a dark cabin. You know, Brett Smith has an infrared drone that he can look in the windows and see if your wife is cheating on you. His rates are reasonable. So get in contact with Brett Smith.
Woo-hoo.
All right.
Visit hypothesisfilm.com. I think my contact info is on there. Check out the film if you want. Should be on YouTube for free or on Amazon. Hypothesis. Always good.
Hypothesis, made by Brett Smith, featuring Dr. Stephen Jones. One of the best 9/11 movies out there. And if you're not woke, you got no excuse anymore. It's free on YouTube, motherfuckers. All right, that's been another episode of Highway Diary in the Bag. Thanks to my guest, one of my closest podcast friends that I only met once, Brett Smith.
Thanks, Eric. It was a pleasure being on.
Cool. All right. Talk to you soon, buddy.
All right. We'll see you.
Bye-bye. Oh, yeah. That's been another episode of Highway Diary in the motherfucking bag. Later.